Welcome back, everyone, to the Farm Credit Advocates podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Kreischer, the Director of Communications at Mid-Atlantic Farm Credit. Our guest today requires very little introduction, as she is somewhat of a celebrity around these parts. Jenny Rhodes is a lifelong ag advocate and has been raising poultry and growing grain in Centerville, Maryland for over three decades. Her love of education and helping fellow producers prompted her to join the University of Maryland Extension System in 1997, where she's now a principal agent. Ever since Jenny was a young girl, she's really taken a leadership role, not only within the ag community, but in her community as a whole. And she continues to do so today as both a member of the Delmarva poultry industry and our own board of directors. I really, truly, honestly, Jenny, do not know how you do it all, but it's very much my honor to have you on the podcast today.
Well, thanks for having me. And I'll say that when you love what you do, it's pretty easy.
Well, do you mind just kind of talking to everyone about a little bit about your background, your very extensive background in ag, and your operation today?
Sure. So I grew up in agriculture. My mom and dad are really, I guess, the first advocates of agriculture that I really learned from. My dad was not afraid to teach us anything. And at the age of 8 years old, you know, I was out driving a tractor and doing things. Other farmers are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you're letting your daughter do that. So I guess that has made me be the person I am today. I'm really not afraid to delve into anything. But I was pretty lucky growing up. My mom was a nurse, and she early on was able to stay home and, you know, raise us. And just, we all worked together as a family. I'm the oldest of five children, and pretty much all of us are involved in one way or the other in agriculture, some a lot more than others of my siblings. But we were in 4-H and we were in FFA. So that's, you know, the start, I think, of your leadership and learning life skills. And I worked and went to college at night and went back later and got my bachelor's and master's. So I've done a little bit of everything, but in my heart, all I really wanted to ever do was own my own farm. And poultry industry really gave me that ticket. I knew that, and today we still can't, you know, go buy a farm and pay with it with just, you know, raising grains, corn, wheat, soybeans. So the poultry industry was my ticket into getting into agriculture. Nobody in my family had really been in the poultry industry before. So it was really a whole new experience for us. At the time I was married. A few years later, my now ex-husband decided that he wanted to leave. So he left and we carried on. I'm like, I'm not changing my children's, I'm not changing their life. They were 8 and 10 when we divorced. And it was very important for me to raise my children on a farm just like I did. And people are like, oh, you're a woman, you know, yada, yada, yada. And, but I'm like, you know what? My mother and father instilled in us that we could do anything that we wanted to do. And that's what I've done. So my sons and I have always worked together. And today they help me on my farms, and they have their own operations. They both own their own grain and poultry farms. I'm pretty proud of that. And that's my dad and my brother. And my mother really helps me to raise my sons. Also, you know, it takes a team, but I was really the one, you know, that taught them about the poultry industry. And now they have their own poultry farms, and they do a really good job.
How is it working with your sons? Was that something you kind of always hoped would happen, or was it kind of done by surprise?
Well, you know, growing up, I always thought it was like the worst thing in the world, because we always had to stay home and work, and I didn't get to play any sports, and I did get to play basketball, and I was not very good at it, I can tell you, but you know, we had fun, and that was the most important part of it, that, you know, we had fun doing that. But later in life, I realized, you know, the things that I did with my family, working with my family, were much more important than any of those sports or, you know, I was involved in FFA and those kind of things, but working with your family, I was, you know, family of seven, and we worked all summer, and I've told this story. It's my favorite story to tell, that, you know, we worked in a garden, we worked on the farm all summer, and our vacation was really the county fair, the Queens County Fair, of which we were in 4-H, and each of us would enter like 100 things in the fair. So I don't know how that was a vacation, but it was for us, and it's still my favorite. You know, my favorite week of the year. So, you know, growing up, we didn't know any different. And, And I really wanted to work, you know, side by side with my sons. And certainly they always have worked on a farm. You know, we would work in the chicken houses in the morning before school, and, you know, I would head out to work, but it all worked and it all got done. And people were like, well, you know, you don't spend any time together. I'm like, yes, we do. We work together. Yeah. That's the best thing of all.
Right.
You know, a lot of people don't understand. We don't need to go to the movies, or I don't like to shop anyway. We don't need to go shopping, or the best thing is when you can spend time working with your family. And now, you know, my grandsons and my granddaughter too, you know, we spend time working together, and I enjoy every minute of it.
That's definitely team bonding. That's for sure.
It is.
That's quite the work ethic. Well, you know, you are very well known around these parts for being a poultry farmer. You're one that I've done a tour at your farm before. You're very welcoming for anyone to learn that's interested in learning about your operation. So kind of switching gears here, poultry, the industry there, you know, you've navigated several challenges as a poultry farmer. You've had avian flu outbreaks and you've had to, you know, put some serious biosecurity measures on your farm. So I know challenge is definitely no stranger to that industry, but how is this pandemic different than some of those past challenges that you and your fellow poultry industry representatives have faced?
This is certainly a pandemic like none of us have ever experienced, and it has affected all of us. And I don't care who you are and what parameter you're in life. It's, you know, it's really had a lot to do with many of us. That's for sure. But for us, I mean, we've always practiced good biosecurity. So I say that the new biosecurity is social distancing. We've always done that really in the poultry industry. You know, we, you know, come home from work or come home from being in town or going to get parts. You know, we come in our house, we take off our shoes, you know, we take off our clothes, you know, sometimes we take a shower depending on where we've been. And then we put on our barn clothes and our barn shoes and go back, you know, down to the barns or chicken houses. We say chicken houses. So it's something that, you know, I think a lot of people, we've always done, and a lot of people just don't have a clue. And I've told people, I said, you know, really, when you get home from work or wherever you've been, you know, there's a lot of germs on the bottom of our shoes. We should be, you know, you should be taking off your shoes. You should be, you know, taking your clothes off, throwing them in the wash machine, and, you know, at least changing your clothes, if not, you know, taking a shower. So that's, I think that's one thing the poultry industry has always been very good at is biosecurity and, you know, just washing your hands. I mean, we wash our hands before we go to the chicken house. People are like, well, why are you washing your hands before you go to the chicken house? Well, because you don't want to take germs into your chickens. And the same way when you get done, you don't want to take anything out either. But I think it's just the, you know, the unknown of not knowing, you know, you're in charge of these animals 24/7. And, you know, we're in an integrated system and every piece of that integrated system has to work. And when I never in a million years, you know, ever thought about really, you know, what happens when the plant workers can't get to the plant to harvest the chickens. And that happened, but we have, you know, we've gotten through it and we've learned a lot of things. And I think the companies, everybody's learned. So we're all learning about, you know, the things that we can do and we all have to work together. So communication is key to know, you know, to making producers and everybody, you know, up the line really understand. And I think a lot of it was, and I didn't really understand this myself until really after all this, that, you know, when you look at our food chain, 50% of our food, you know, goes to the grocery store and the other 50 goes to restaurants and institutions. And
right.
You know, when that part got shut down, it just put a real big kink, you know, in the system.
Right.
Managing through.
Well, that was going to be my next question is what are some things that you all are doing to adapt to some of those problems that you're seeing? The restaurant piece was one thing that, like you, I didn't think about as part of our food supply chain, but it's clearly a large part. So what are some things that you and your fellow, you know, producers have done to kind of adapt and adjust to all this?
Well, I think a lot of it is that, you know, to listen to the companies, listen to the company veterinarians, the grow out managers, you know, they're trying to make decisions on, you know, how the birds grow and they're thinking about placings and, you know, a lot of, you'll listen to national news. I do a lot of listening to the national rural news, I call it. You know, the processing plants never may be back to 100% of what they were just because of the social distancing and, you know, what they have to do. So as we do that, we have to think about placements of birds. Some, you know, companies. There's five, you know, here on the shore. I'd say two companies are probably, you know, kind of full steam ahead. They're, you know, they're still placing the same amount of birds in the houses. And then other companies, the company that I grow for said we could look for some, you know, extended layout. So we are looking at our budgets and we are looking at our expenses and, you know, right down to your cell phone bill. It might be $5, but $5 a month, that adds up. You know, look at your, you know, we have a dumpster, you know, look at that bill. Maybe there's something, you know, they used to come and pick ours up every week. Now they come every other week. Mm-hmm. So we're just looking at every single thing, every expense when I, you know, pay my bills and looking through my QuickBooks, looking through my expenses. Okay. What are the things that I can cut out? And I think the other thing is, so if you, you know, if you were to get into that situation where you think you can't make your payments, because, you know, our payments, we have quarterly mortgage payments. So we get to that, you know, point where our layouts are that long and we may not be able to make our payments. First thing is, of course, to reach out to Farm Credit or to your bank and communications and, you know, letting them, you know, certainly letting them know what's going on. But I've told people, know what your personal, what it costs you to personally live. I think that is one of the, you know, when you go to the bank and, you know, they really want to know, what does it personally cost you to live? And they may put in a factor, well, you may be pretty frugal. Maybe it doesn't cost you, you know, that much to live. Right. So that may give you other, you know, other cash flow for your farm. So I think the financial piece is, you know, just the so important. And the management piece, I mean, just keeping your farm clean. I mean, you know, cutting grass, clean, picking up trash. It doesn't cost a lot to go and pick up trash or, you know, whack a few weeds here and there. It takes a little bit of labor, but no matter what, you should take pride in the way that your farm looks. And we all do. Our whole family, we all take pride in our farms. And we want, you know, when somebody pulls onto your farm, we want them to say, oh, Jenny takes, you know, this is a really nice farm. Jenny does a good job taking care of her farm.
Yep. Yep. No, that's great advice. Mm-hmm. What are some things that DPI and Extension are doing right now to support producers too? Like, how are they supporting the community right now?
Our job as Extension is really through education. So we have started a weekly lunch with your favorite ag agents.
Oh.
So we partner with University of Maryland Eastern Shore, which is Jennifer Timmons and Georgie Cartans at the University of Delaware Cooperative Extension. And then Dr. John Wool is our poultry specialist, and then myself. So every Wednesday at lunchtime, we invite anybody to get on and, you know, we talk about what's going on. We want people to have an outlet, you know, just maybe to vent or to ask questions if they don't, you know, if they don't understand what's going on. We kind of left it open probably the first month. We just had one today. And we talked about neighbor relations,
you
know, having good neighbor relations. So that always helps when you have a topic. So we'll probably, you know, out of bad things come good things. And mm-hmm. So we will probably continue. We will continue to do this because it's easy. I mean, you get on your computer, they get on their phone. They can still be at home. Nobody has to travel anywhere. Biosecurity isn't, you know, not an issue. For us, right. So I can, you know, we can have people on from Pocomoke, you know, to Del Mar, to Centerville. It's and then also it's not just for growers, but we ask the allied businesses to come on. There's a gentleman on today from the Maryland Department of Ag. And so because we were talking about neighbor relations. So how can we all work together to do these things? So we invite anybody really to get on and to listen. And then on the DPI side, we have been partnered with them. We've done some lunch and learns and talking about solar and maybe some other opportunities out there. They've really been working on the legislative side for our legislators to understand. We had a Eastern Shore delegation Zoom meeting. That's the new thing now. that was Friday, you know, to talk with them, you know, about what's going on. And you know, we have neighbors and other people that really, you know, don't understand the impact of COVID and don't understand why they, you know, there's not chicken in the grocery store, you know, because certainly, you know, Jenny has, you know, 80,000 chickens right down the road, but why is there not,
right,
you know, any in our grocery store? And that's what we, you know, need to try to explain to those. And then, of course, you know, that I work a lot, do volunteer work with the National Chicken Council. And they're out of DC and they're just, you know, advocates of of chicken. Well, not poultry, of chicken. So they, I've done lots of tours with them, with social influencers coming to my farm. So working with them and figuring out, you know, how we can get federal assistance to farmers that may need it. I don't believe that every person, you know, needs federal assistance, but, you know, if there's a farmer that's going to be laid out, you know, a long time, you know, what can we do to help them? So DPI, myself, you know, others have been working with, you know, Farm Bureau, grain producers, National Chicken Council, you know, what are the things that we can do to help farmers? Because really in this CFAP, the Corona Food Assistance Program that was rolled out by the USDA, poultry was really left out of that. And I understand, you know, poultry is really usually not part of a lot of the USDA programs, but because we don't own the birds, but because of the pandemic, they're trying to figure out a way that if they share a reduction in income, then to get some type of assistance to that farmer. So we're still working on that. We're, you know, we want it to be not, you know, farming, one size does not fit all.
Right.
And we really want it to go to the people that need it, not the people, you know, that don't need it.
Right.
That's the tough part.
Yeah. Well, I love the steps that DPI and Extension and the National Chicken Council are taking to pull the community together to advocate right. for themselves. That is yeah. crucial mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah,
you know, as you talk about all of the efforts you're involved in, did you know you always wanted to become an advocate for ag? Like, was this something that you always kind of, you had that drive yeah. and your leadership drive?
No, I really no? didn't. No, I really didn't. I know. I think you just kind of never know in life where it might take you. But I think that I had a mentor and really didn't even know it. So I am really a big proponent of mentors. And I really tried to mentor other people. And there was a person that mentored me, and he actually worked with Farm Credit, and his name was Kenny Bounds, and he is still my mentor today. But you know, I think sometimes you're being mentored and you don't even know it. It's, you know, when you call and you say, "Hey Jenny, can you do this?" or "Hey Jenny, can you do that?" But I think sometimes we don't always step up. And for me, I'm a graduate of Lee, Maryland. So I was in class 4, and I think that was probably you're always some type of leader. But after leaving Maryland, it really made me think about, okay, what am I going to give back to the agriculture industry? They put all this money into me because, you know, Extension gives money, the Maryland Department of Ag, Farm Credit gives money, Farm Bureau. You know, the list goes on and on to all the wonderful people that give money to lead Maryland. And I thought, okay, what am I going to do to give back? And then I got that call in 2009 to want to know if I would like to run for the Farm Credit Board of Directors. And I thought, oh my gosh, here's my chance to give back. And I'm like, wow, this is a really big step. Am I going to be able to do this? So I, you know, like, okay, I can do this, and took the plunge. And I've been on the board of directors since 2009 in service of past chair. And I tell many people, I never thought this little farm girl from Centerville would be the chair of a $3 billion cooperative.
Well, we are so glad you took that plunge and joined the board. That's for sure. Why do you feel, now that you've had experience and you've been on our board for several years, why do you feel it's important that other members get involved? And what are some things that you've learned from your involvement in our board?
I guess one of the things, I mean, I was always involved as a cooperative member. I always thought it was important to vote. And I was very surprised of the people that don't vote. That's pretty interesting to me that you're a member of a cooperative and you don't vote. We did go to online voting, as you know, this year, and mm-hmm. that did bring our numbers up. And I am so excited for that. So that was one of the things that happened under my reign, I'll say.
Yes.
And that was just really exciting for me. And I think that as we expand that and we get more out and we do, you know, more things, you know, because everybody does a lot of things by email and you send out, hey, here's a general reminder, don't forget to vote, to get involved. And I think really as, you know, the website, I mean, you do a great job on the website and getting information out. So I think the more people you know, we can get involved, because certainly they know that, you know, the more profitable we are as a cooperative, the really the more money we get, you know, back in patronage to all of our members.
Well, another role that you take very seriously is grandmother. I know you adore your sweet grandbabies. How have they changed your life? And do you love the life on the farm with them? Like, I can't even imagine their cute little faces running around.
Oh yeah. It's, you know, I never really understood it. My mom did a lot for my kids. And, but until you have your own grandchild, you don't understand the love that you have for your grandchildren. You love your children, but there is just, it's something different about grandchildren. I don't know, you know, because it's a little later in life and maybe you're not, well, I feel like I'm still busy, but maybe I do say that my grandchildren do slow me down. So that is the one thing that I will stop and say, you know what? Nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to spend time with my grandchildren. They're very lucky that they can grow up on a farm just like their dads did and be involved in the farm operation. And now, so Hunter is 8, Cole is 6, Oliver is 4, Audrey is 1.5, and Henry is a little over a year. So they keep me very busy. When you have all 5 of them, it's just a joy. They were actually here last night, and they came over, and we were all swimming in the pool, and just, you know, that's just the best for me when they're here, and we can eat together, or even if, you know, if we're working together, it really doesn't matter, because we're all together and we're all spending time together. And when I see my sons, you know, talking with each other and conferring and asking, well, what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And, you know, I see them, you know, be both, you know, kind of being, I don't, you know, leaders in their community. I look for both of them to step up. But, you know, when you're young and you've got a family, I think leadership is all about the right time. And you can be leaders in different ways. You know, I have a lot of women that said, I want to be a leader, but my, you know, kids are small. And I said, I understand, I couldn't do all that when my kids, you know, were young either. But, you know, once they got older, and I think Lead Maryland really helped me. You know, that was really the first time I was at a Lead Maryland seminar and my chickens came, you know, were delivered that day. And I was a nervous wreck. But that's part of really of being a leader.
And that actually... Yeah, no, that actually tees up my next question perfectly, is what advice would you give to, you know, to yourself when you were just starting out, starting your operation? What's some advice that you can impart on some young producers that might be going through that same nervousness and feeling?
Well, common sense always prevails, I think, you know, thinking about different things, and you may be, I'll say scared or worried about things, but, you know, educate yourself first. I mean, it's no question is ever dumb. Reach out to another person if, you know, if you really don't understand the situation you're in or, you know, what's going on. I think sometimes communication is just so important. And all things, my mother always said this, and I'm going to say this, my mother always said, oh, everything happens for a reason and you're not really sure. Like, good grief. But everything does happen for a reason, and it really makes you a better person in the end. So you may fail. My life has not been perfect, that's for sure. I have failed at a lot of things. But, you know, when you fail, it makes you work even harder to move ahead. And especially when people say, oh, you can't do that. I'm like, oh, don't tell me I can't do that, because I will show you that I can do that. So I think determination, you know, is a lot of it also.
I totally agree with you. Well, I have really appreciated this conversation, Jenny. 2 Jennies on the same podcast. Yeah. I was looking forward to this day. I just have one more question before I let you go and back to your oh-so-busy schedule. What does Jenny Rhodes advocate for in agriculture?
I think really just to educate people so they know, understand what we do. I mean, we as farmers, we want the same thing as everybody else. Everybody wants a clean Chesapeake Bay. You know, we want good air quality. We want cheap food. And I think as farmers, you know, we want the same thing. And the reason we do what we do, and we take a lot of pride in raising crops and raising animals. So we, yes, it's a business, but it's also a way of life. But I really want people to understand what we do and why we do it.
I love that. And I think you are off to a great start. And I appreciate your time today, Jenny. And thank you for everything that you do for Farm Credit and for agriculture in general.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Of course. And thank you everyone for tuning in. Please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and share this podcast with a friend. You can check out the podcast notes and subscribe to get email alerts for all future episodes by going to mafc.com/podcast. And we're also available via email and would love your feedback on this podcast and any future guests that you'd love to hear. So please reach out to us at podcast@mafc.com. Thank you all so much. Stay safe and see you next time.